Welcome to Woohooville, the next stop on your spiritual journey, hosted by three fellow travelers who found a soul connection on the path to higher consciousness. Our goal is to help you navigate the choppy waters you are likely to encounter on the spiritual path by sharing our experiences with you each week. Join us today as we spill the tea on what it is like to wake up to your authentic self. Today's episode is going to be on empaths, blessing or curse. And I'm Lola. Who am I? I'm looking at...
She's channeling me. Channeling's for another episode.
Who am I is the question. I am Pamela and I'm here with...
Lola.
And Amaral.
So if that's a clue as to what we're dealing with the energies today, bear in mind, we're going through some things. So to kick it off, Lola... You were doing some looking online to see about all the different types of empaths, and you even learned that there's some ones that you weren't even aware of. So going to let you go into that.
Well, I know I'm a super empath because I'm very sensitive to places. So for example, even before I was even the slightest bit spiritual, I just had no tolerance for being in malls, shopping malls. I just couldn't handle it. And unfortunately, when I was in college, that's where I had part-time work jobs.
Oh, really?
And like one of the malls, sorry, that's my phone. I thought I turned it off, was super busy on the weekends. It was like if you went out into the mall, it was like salmon going upstream. It was so full of people on Saturdays.
Okay.
And to this day, I can't go into a mall. But that's just one example. I'm also super emotionally tuned into other people's feelings, which a lot of people who are highly intuitive, like many of the people in the audience, you could, growing up, before you even knew you were intuitive, you could feel your parents when they weren't getting along, even if they weren't saying anything, you could feel that tension. So I've always been that way, really, really sensitive to emotions. That wasn't my phone this time. I swear, people, we turned our phones to silent before we started. I watched everybody, so we're being messed with. Maybe that's a good thing because I need a little bit of sense of humor today. So anyway, I found out today when I proposed the topic of empaths, a blessing or a curse.
Right.
And it feels like a curse, but it actually is a blessing. That there are more types of empaths than I realized. I was looking it up and we're going to talk about a few of them. And then we're also going to talk about my inspiration for why I wanted to address this topic, because I am definitely feeling a lot of emotional energy that belongs to other people today for a reason. I'll let you guys know. Anybody else want to speak up on that? In general, empath? Or you being an empath?
I think just to comment, you know, blessing or curse, it reminds me of a conversation I had with my son. So you can imagine being an empath and having a heightened sense of feelings and being a boy.
Yes, because they're supposed to suppress their feelings.
Right. So he always said, this is a curse. This feels, I shouldn't say always said.
I think most young people think it's a curse.
Yeah. It's, you're in a social setting. There's not a space for you to show emotion. You have to turn it off and pretend like things don't affect you. It's very difficult. I can recall a conversation, I had with my boyfriend, when he would say, you know, I would see some of the things that my friends were doing around me, and it's very difficult because you're meant to go along with the guys and be one of the guys, but you're seeing and feeling the other side of who that person, the thing that they're doing is affecting them, and you're feeling it. And how do you advocate for yourself and still be like, oh, I'm cool, and I'm not, you know, disrupting the flow of the dude code and all of this kind of stuff. So there's a lot of ways to navigate when you're a big feeler in this way.
Yeah. And then that's like one way, but like in my story, for example, I was such a high empath and I always was so much more closer to females and the divine feminine because there was so much toxic masculinity and I didn't realize what it was, but I was always approached and meaning like, now I actually take it as a blessing, like being gay really showed me the differences between what a good role model as far as a male is and what an actual balance, like the balance between the male and the female, which I have to balance out myself. But when I was growing up, I just felt so much, and I felt fear. I felt almost like, oh, well, you're not really like us type thing. And that's why I kind of always was backing away from it. And I think that growing up in a culture where machismo is really praised in a way, and I say praised openly because I feel that there's a lot we can learn. And when you allow machismo comments and stuff, no matter if you're a male or a female, you're part of this group. And that's like, I came here to kind of like feel like I have to speak out about it, because these are the things that people don't realize. Like, sometimes what you allow to happen or what you're saying verbally, whether you may not mean it or not, and this is why it's so important to go within, is you are either participating on something and you're enabling something, or you're going to be the one that's going to be the change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, another thing to bring up is everybody's part masculine and part feminine.
Exactly.
We've got two hemispheres in our brain that proves it, and different hormones in our bodies that prove it. Yeah. Okay. One of the things that we need to understand is to balance is mastery. So how do we balance being an empath with being a rational person as well? I think that's what you were trying to say with your son, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So in episode one and episode two, I believe, we told you guys we were going to just keep this very real and authentic and conversational. And so I'm just going to tell you how I am today. And this is why I want to talk about empathy. And I want to thank my co-host for being, I'm already getting choked up, for being open to this topic, because I am feeling a lot of other people's pain right now, because Pamela helped me start this, but there's a drumming circle that I'm the leader of now that meets once a month, and it's a beautiful community drumming circle where a lot of friendships have been forged, and it's once a month in Stanwood, Washington. We're in the Pacific Northwest here. And I got news yesterday, and I'm just going to be real because I'm already crying, that one of our members met with some violence and was murdered over the weekend. And I found out. So I've been going through my own personal, being an empath, working through the grief. And I was in full-blown anger this morning. And I'm now more in acceptance, so you guys don't have to hear me vent. Or maybe I will go back to anger at some point too, who knows, because I'm going to honor the grief process. But on top of it, because I am the leader of this group, I hold the space for the group. And there are some people, I had to put an announcement out on our Facebook group page about this person being no longer with us, and there were several people who were very upset, and one of them called and talked to me today, and we discussed it, and she's upset and angry, and I know other friends are upset and angry too. So I guess what I'm trying to tell you, I'm a super empath, and so in addition to working through my grief, I am feeling their grief right now, and I'm feeling the stages they go through, the disbelief, the anger, the acceptance, the lots of confusion. So, being an empath, is it a blessing or a curse? You know, I don't enjoy what I'm going through right now, but to me, it's a blessing that I can be holding space for them. Yeah. You know, I do want to be the pillar for them. So I'm feeling the feels for me, and I'm feeling the feels for them.
Yeah. I also want to bring up that it's so interesting sometimes when... Because death is one of those things that how we look at it really affects us in so many different ways. I had a lot of deaths in my close circle as well as family, especially seems like recently. And it's interesting, as humans, obviously we're attached emotionally to death, especially when it hits us so close. And they don't necessarily even have to be your relatives to affect you. It can be a coworker, it can be whatever, especially when circumstances are so, like, for example, like when someone is killed by someone, that's like, there's no excuse, and you can't really, there's not that part about where we can just take it so smoothly, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Where, like, you know what's coming. Exactly. You're preparing yourself, and you, and along with that person's passing, you're working through your own stages of them letting go. But mm-hmm. when it's sudden, like you're saying.
Yeah, and for me, I've been on the spiritual path long enough to know that, you know, death is just a stopping point for a new start.
Right.
So it's not the death, it's the violence.
Right, mm-hmm. Okay.
It's the violence and the shock.
The shock
of the violence that I'm definitely feeling. And I know that the rest of the group's feeling that too, the drumming circle group. So anyway, that is why I thought this was a salient topic. I think it's fair for you guys to know. And I think it's also fair for you to understand why this is an important topic, because there are a lot of feelers out there. As a matter of fact, when I was doing the research, that is the number one empath, the emotional empath. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure a lot of people feel other people's pain or discomfort or envy. Mm-hmm. You can feel it when you walk into the room, if there's tension.
Yeah.
And so there's nothing wrong with you. You're an empath. Now, why is that a blessing? Because the more we feel, the more we heal. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So a true healer mm-hmm. has to have some kind of empathy. That's why they talk about Chiron, right? The Greek god, part man, part horse. He was one of the immortals, and he got wounded. And because he's immortal, he will never die, but he will always feel that pain. And then he became the doctor, because if he couldn't heal others till he understood pain in himself. As an immortal, he didn't know what it was.
Right. Uh-huh. You know, and the gateway through is through the emotions. Like, we came down here to feel,
yes,
to experience, to have all of these wonderful array of emotion. I know that I was looking at some writing, and we tend to kind of stick with certain words. And I noticed in some of my emails and things, I would start out, "I feel." And I noticed that I would write that a lot. Well, to other people, when you're trying to write to someone, especially in work situations, you can sound over emotional. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's, you know, "I believe," "I think," I caught that one day, and I went, "Wow, okay." And that's true, because I am a super feeler. And how do you come across as also not being too emotional? So I was always trying to dial it down, dial emotions in, and so that I didn't look overly emotional. I know one of the things, I talked about this in another episode, is when I'm working with clients, I'm oftentimes feeling their feelings that they are not processing themselves. So that is another way, as an empath, you can help other people process emotions or bring things to light. So I'm getting teared up and I'm feeling something, and it's bringing them a chance to look at that and go, "Yeah, that was hard." Like, maybe they emotionally, they hadn't got to, they just...
or they preferred not to.
Right. And you talk through that trauma or that experience, and you don't... I can feel in when people have not dealt with the emotional aspect. So being an empath is, so many ranges of things.
And that brings up something, because we're all healers at this group, or we're all, at least at the minimum, Reiki trained. Reiki masters. And it's like, for the people who do energy healing out there, how do you balance feeling but yet keeping that clinical distance?
Right.
And that's just part of you learning to master yourself. And I guess part of it is trying to be an observer of the feelings. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You feel them, and then you know what they are, and then you let them go because you realize it's someone else's, but you use that feeling to give you the knowledge to do the healing. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think Amaral wanted to say something.
I was going to say, yeah, you were on a point about talking about death, and I want to make sure we come back to that.
Yeah, but before that, was my train of thought. So
yes.
I also want to talk about where we've come to as far as social standards. And, like, I feel like I've been affected, and I'm sure that, like, everyone has been affected at some point, because we come from a society where it teaches us to suppress our emotions. Mm-hmm. Now, as an empath, that's not that great, because obviously, when we, as anyone really in general, When you suppress emotions, what you're actually doing is you're creating traumas eventually. And so an example of that is me growing up in a culture where I didn't get an option to say, oh, I vote for this or this should be going or whatever. But as a male, I'm already expected not to share emotion or not to be over emotion because I'm supposed to be tough and I'm supposed to have the lead role. And obviously then the all those things collapse because, first of all, I am gay. So then that's a whole breaking of structures of how socially I'm supposed to act. Or, for example, Pam says how she was saying when she's writing something, a female in a workplace, when she's too feeler, then there's like, oh, she gets too caught up in her emotions. Then why does anyone have the right to tell you you have to act a certain way or you have to suppress your emotions? You should be able to share who you are, how you feel about things. And even if you get emotional about it, that's just to get it out. And this episode is a lot about bringing those of you that have been that sensitive to finally have a voice. It doesn't, nobody has to agree with you. You just have to be you. Whatever that, because every empath is so different and we're going to go over some of the categories, but nonetheless, you are important. Your feelings are important and you shouldn't be suppressing them because that really leads to not such great things.
But it's overwhelming if you don't know you're an empath.
Yeah.
So that's why this is also another very important topic.
Yeah.
I don't think people really understand that's a psychic skill.
And I think it's a curse. The difference between empath and being a highly sensitive person, can we speak to that for a minute? Because they're very close, and it took me a while to understand the difference of the two, because I remember I used to not hear that word very much years ago, and then I'm like, well, what is this thing called an empath? And then I think it was in counseling, actually, where I heard there's this thing called being a highly sensitive person at 38. So I'm gone my whole life being wired this way and not realizing it's not just, oh, you're like that. It's a highly sensitive person is an innate thing that you're wired. So a highly sensitive person is, like they say, possibly 20% of the population. And of that, maybe 5 is an empath. So it takes it a step further where you actually feel emotions in your body, where other people, highly sensitive people, can just pick up on that. So there is a little bit of a distinction.
I still don't understand the difference.
Yeah.
Can you try to reword that? Because if I don't understand it, the other people in the audience are going to quite understand
it. Let me think on that for just a second, because I want to make sure. So is it like a
highly sensitive person, like they could walk into place and they just know that it feels icky, but an empath can feel the icky?
Yes, that's the difference.
Okay.
Another person.
See, I used a technical term, icky.
I know. I was like, wait a minute. I know I'm not explaining this very well. Because see, even me trying to, it took a while for me to understand that there's differences.
The highly sensitive person, it could be more of a cognitive thing.
Right. Yes.
But the true empath, like you and me and Emeril,
you're feeling it in
we're
you.
We're feeling the icky. We're consciously aware of it and we're feeling it.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Because I had to talk it out to figure it out too.
And I might have to go back and revisit because I used to have this nailed down in my head perfectly. Mm-hmm. And now I have so much more information that it takes some of the older files and goes, oh, we don't need that stuff anymore. You already got it. Now I'm trying to archive that. But Dr. Elaine Aron, she's the pioneer on that term, highly sensitive.
Oh, that's good for people to know.
Yeah. And so that was where she said, do you know this is actually a thing? It's not just,
Your imagination. You're not too sensitive.
Right.
You're not a weepy cancer.
Yeah.
You know?
So if they were saying, like, you know, as a kid, you heard toughen up, you know, a lot, or, you know, these different types of things. It's, you know, and sensitivity and being an empath is a beautiful gift because we're here to help.
Yeah, and hopefully this helps other people, especially parents, mm-hmm. because my parents had no clue.
Right.
So, you know, it was frustrating. So I became a very angry child because I was always feeling and I couldn't label it. I didn't know where it's coming from. So then, you know, they didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
They weren't attuned to it. Thank goodness things are different nowadays. So you can understand your child who's an empath.
Also, within that you just brought up, I just feel like, of course, I'm going to bring it up. But that's the reason why we're all in this healing journey, too. It's because there's no such thing as perfect parenting. the further we go back, the worse it got, as far as people not expressing themselves, people posturing, people wearing these masks that was never them. So your own parents, your own grandparents, they lived in such a different world, and there was so much that was put as like, oh yeah, this is a social standard, when it really wasn't. But now we get to actually go back and say, no, this was actually wrong, because we need to express ourselves. If you're an empath, obviously you're going to feel more, but now you get to really go to the deepness of it, of this is who I am and this is what I'm feeling. And it's not a weakness by any mean. If anything, it's just connecting really with your surroundings and being more aware of your surroundings and being more there for others as well as yourself.
What do you guys think of it being a superpower? I've heard it also described as being an empath is a superpower, the flipping it instead of seeing it, you know, as a weakness.
Oh, I think it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm a super empath. So that's what I call myself. And yes. So, but once again, I think it goes back to how can you be a very good healer unless mm-hmm. you actually know what pain is. Mm-hmm. So that kind of goes with some of these other categories of empaths. So one of the first ones I see on a list when I pulled up information online was a physical empath. And it says a physical empath feels other people's symptoms in his or her own body. Mm-hmm. So that could be a medical intuitive, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, but, you know, when I was new to the journey, I guess some people, you can be a layperson and know about medical intuitives. You might not believe in them, but you can know what they are. So yeah, some people feel physical symptoms in the body. Our friend Sue is a good example of that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we have Reiki circles, one of the people who participates hones in on physical symptoms in the body so fast.
And even, I think all of us to a certain degree, because again, everything is like a muscle, but how many of us have that gut feeling when we meet people, when we're around certain situations where we just feel something that's off? And we're picking up on other people's energy.
Yeah, but I think this one is really picking up on the physical. Like, I feel like you've got had a broken leg at some point. Yeah. Or what's going on with your, you know, you're having a gastral upset tummy or something like that. At least that's my interpretation of this.
That's mine, too. I gave an example of this where someone had sat in a chair where they were going through throat cancer. And so she was a physical empath, and her throat started closing up mm-hmm. and feeling scratchy and raw. And I do think it really makes you a very good healer, because then you're...
Talk about being Chiron.
Right. Yeah. So I was going through something where I was meeting with a healer, and she was very intuitive. And I was going through a job that was very difficult, and I started having a lot of physical symptoms. So this is why it also helps to go see other empaths. She's like, what is this pain in your right rib side? It feels like a thorn. She described it, and I was like... Oh my gosh, that's exactly how it feels. So it helped me to be like, okay, this isn't just in my mind. It also helped me to clue into my body, because I learned to turn off mm-hmm. feelings in my body at times to be like, okay, this is a legitimate feeling. This is someone, she's feeling it. It was very validating.
Yeah. So you may have that skill and not have realized that that was a form of empathy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I didn't either. I would have said that's a medical intuitive.
Right.
Which is, why not be both?
I would almost say that they're one and the same.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay.
At least that's my interpretation. But that brings up something too, in that I lost my train of thought, got derailed. Sorry, guys. I'm still dealing with grief, so I'm not my best thinking right now.
That's okay. Do you want
to? No, it was. Because I feel people's bodies. Oh,
right.
But I feel energy blocks, like emotional blocks. Mm-hmm. I turn into emotions. So I might feel it in your body, like your throat chakra is really tight and scratchy. Mm-hmm. But that's different than this, I think, where someone's going, okay, there's something going on, you know, with your liver,
right?
Or there's some,
right, you're an organ,
or you know, your thyroid, or they actually hone in on things,
right?
Okay, you guys talk and fill time, because I lost my list on my computer somehow.
That's okay. I wanted to bring this in. The main difference between a highly sensitive person and empath is that empaths can absorb energy from others and their environment, like you were saying, take it in physically, where highly sensitive people typically do not. They said empaths can sense and absorb subtle energies. This is the other thing, subtle.
Yes,
subtle. Many people do not get subtleties.
No, so hence the name.
Right. So I believe this was also one of the questions that you can take a quiz. There was a quiz. So I went home from this counseling session going, what's this thing? I type it in. This actually probably was the biggest thing for me before I even got on my spiritual journey that was life-changing for me. Because then I took the quiz. I found all this resource of information about it. It helped me accept myself so much more. And then they had it about kids. And so I took the quiz for my kids and I was like, okay, I could see the levels of their sensitivity. And it helped me to see that because I was an empath, I naturally was intuitive to how each kid was wired differently. So then I could change my parenting style a little bit to their own sensitivities.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
But I thought, how hard would that have been if I was not an empath? And I was a parent like yours, you're giving that example, and you don't understand why your kid's this way. You're like, yeah. Toughen up or do this or that, or why can't you, you know, they get overwhelmed when their energy has too much stimulation. So they're going to be, you know, having a fit and crying or tired or whatever. And when you realize, oh my gosh, these things are actually really hard for my kid. There's nothing wrong with them. They're actually, you know, I feel like empaths and highly sensitive kids are very blessed. It's something I feel very strong about. And it's hard because they're the few ones in the classroom or whatever that is feeling everything and seeing things that they can't express or explain to others. But it makes them feel different. And it makes them sometimes have trouble connecting to the group because they're feeling so much or they need more time out. They need a break or,
yes.
You know, and so they can really struggle in school settings and social settings, and it can really affect their self-esteem and how they see themselves, especially by how the teachers react to them, how their parents
and
are.
How the other kids act.
How the kids are, their home environment, maybe that's hard. And so then they're like keeping all of this inside of their bodies and not being able to share it. So that's kind of where my brain goes when I think about that too.
And even in present times too, the other thing too that's really coming up is, you know, like kids are in the spectrum of autism and they come with a different set, like they're a lot more tuned in. So they're more receptive to energy. So they can't stand being like around crowded spaces or too much energy. And it's so interesting because I was reading this thing and it's made so much sense to me, I guess, I'm a Scorpio, so I like to dissect everything. But there was this thing that it was a psychological thing where it says the mom that you had was different to every single one of your brothers. Like there's absolutely no way that your mom could have been the same mom to all your brothers. Why? Because you're all different. So she had to, I guess, in a way, shift out herself to be different to every single one of you. That, and depending on the healing that your mom did, that could be a good thing or could be not so great thing. Mm-hmm. Pam went out of her way when she parented to just kind of study like how each one of her kids was, which is amazing because, I mean, that would have saved a lot of traumas in my life. But nonetheless, it's not about pointing a finger. It's more about realizing, hey, okay, so I was giving this part and we all know that it's our responsibility to heal ourselves. But where can I go from this part, me knowing this information and move forward so I can help others, so that I can make others feel like they have a safe space for them to have truly be themselves and be able to express who they truly are.
Yes. And to just to clarify, I made a lot of mistakes early on. I didn't find that out till my kids were a little bit older. I had found out about it when Lexi was younger. So when I found that out too, I saw, oh, I could have done so much better.
Then you got the guilt thing.
Yeah, so I had that information.
And she could feel that.
Right, I definitely did. I also wanted to point out, I mentioned Dr. Elaine Aron, her last name spelled A-R-O-N. The other one I was thinking of when we were having this is Dr. Judith Orloff, O-R-L-O-F-F. She has actually a book called I'll look up, but it's basically survival guide for empaths. Mm. So she's a doctor who has all of this, you know, right brain thinking, And yet she
was right, a very scientific doctor.
Yeah, and then also had all the emotion. So, and she had, and her parents were not, she was very intuitive. And interesting story is that she all had a near-death experience and had tried all these ways to manage her empathy. So she talks about how the survival guide, because many times as you get an old get older, you look for coping mechanisms to deal with the empathy of all the emotions, because you don't realize what you're feeling is not yours.
That could lead to addictions.
Right.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. So knowing what it is makes a difference. Yeah. Well, that was the survival. Let's repeat the name.
I'm going to look it up so you guys can move on.
Because I think that's going to be very salient for people. Okay. This is a form of empathy I bet you can relate to, Amaral.
Which one?
It's called Earth Empath. So an Earth Empath feels attuned to nature and what is happening on the Earth plane. So this could be someone who feels an impending earthquake or an impending natural disaster and starts to feel the tension building within the collective, because the collective is feeling it at a subconscious level, but also the Earth itself.
Yeah. You see, I thought there's levels also of the Earth Empath, which I didn't realize. So we know some people that when the solar flares, and we can all still feel that, but that I was reading an Earth Empath is also really affected by the tragedies, the shifts in oceans, and they can, disasters, they can feel it, like you said before, it's coming.
Feel the people grieving.
They're really connected to weather. Another one is you're really connected to nature. You just are not on quite that level. So it has a range of, like, I really think my boyfriend's an Earth Empath. Like, one time we were talking about something and he said, I'm aware of when I do this, how it can create ripples and affect something way over on the other side of the river with the water, with the animals and stuff. And he feels that. So when people are doing things to litter in the river, he starts feeling into the effects of that. And I was like, I had no idea that you felt to that level. So he's very connected to nature. And so that is an aspect of Earth, Mother Earth and Gaia. So it can, and can present itself a couple different ways. So if maybe you don't identify with the nature aspect, maybe you connect to creatures and the environment.
It also says here there are plant empaths and animal empaths.
Oh, okay. So maybe that's segued into
But I'd actually like to go back to the land, and or because Amaral is a grid worker.
Yes.
So I'm curious how that you can relate empathy, earth empathy, to what you do with the land.
So as we all live in our planet, whether we realize it or not, there are certain energies we're putting out. When you have a collective of stored energies that, for example, let's say a place where there was wars, where there was huge human events, trap certain energies, and those energies are stagnant and they're stuck. So that's when I travel to these places, I tune into the energy and I get a lot of things. Like, for example, one time, this was really interesting. So my mom was driving, we were in Mexico, and we're driving through this path, and I'm like, I just don't feel right. I feel like there's something so off right now. And I feel like, and I just started speaking and asking her questions. I said, what happened here? And she goes, what do you mean what happened here? And I said, I can feel screaming. I can hear screaming. I can see almost like people here. I can see people that have died that are on the ground. And she goes, this is a major place where the revolution took place. So there's a lot of bodies and stuff that haven't found their resting place. So they're probably scattered around, and that's what you're tapping into. And I had no idea. So back on the story of Mexico, when the French came in, they took over a lot of the land and they pretty much had the natives as servants. And there was a lot of chaos that went on. And in order to take their lands back, they have to do a revolution where they were fighting for the lands. But a lot of people died. So as a grid worker, I come into those places, I feel that energy, and first I start helping the souls to cross over, which is more shamanic really than grid work, but it just kind of connects the two. And then that releases that energy. And when I go in, I put in my own energy, which is usually like loving energy, so that I clear those that stagnant energy from different places. And some places have it a lot more dense than others, but nonetheless, that is what a grid worker does. It goes into different lands. It feels that energy. When it goes, they bring their own energy to it so that that stagnant energy is broken and you release that energy. So you create more of a flow.
Wow. I remember one time we were working together after you came back from the trip and you went through the cave where there was a lot of sacrifices.
Oh, jeez.
And his body's like shaking, you know, and he's, you know, his husband knows, okay, this is what he does. But, you know, when you have these callings on your life, life looks a little different when you yes. just go in places. And so knowing that if you have that really to be, to learn what you can about it and find other people and resources so that you can help yourself understand how to work with it, how to navigate that and not have it take you out and understand.
Well, that's a good question for people who are listening. Can you give them any advice on what you would do in a similar situation? Someone who's an empath who goes on vacation, walks into a place, feels the history there and it doesn't feel good. Is there anything you can share yes. with them?
So when I first went, my first exposure to it wasn't so friendly because I just freaked out. That's all I could do. But then you realize when you go in more times, so there's a lot of things you can do. First, it's everything's energy and you're just collecting a lot more energy. And as a grid worker, you want to ground because ground takes excess energy off of you. Then the other thing, too, that you can say at any given point is you can say, if there's any energy that is not mine and that is actually affecting me, I let it go. And simple things is holding on to a tree and asking for help or being barefoot on the ground and asking the Mother Earth for help will help you. So if you ever have those intense feelings and it really feels almost like an anxiety attack coming up because it's just so overwhelming and it just really triggers your nervous system. So if you have those, grounding is really good, letting go of the energy, being barefoot, asking the trees to take out any excess energy by just hugging them. That works excellent. So
I love those.
Thank you for actually saying that because I wish somebody would have told me that when I first
I think this is very valuable information, especially if people know they feel that way. So if you are in a foreign place and like, I wish I had known that. I've been to Paris twice and I think I hate Paris. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate Paris. Did I say I hate Paris? And I wish I'd known how to transmute that energy, but I feel the deepest, darkest, dankest, nastiest energy in Paris, France. I don't know why people think it's so beautiful. I just feel the dirtiness of Notre Dame and all the evil things they did there. And it's gray. It's depressing. Their parks are gray. They don't use grass. They use gravel. It's listen to me. I need to go back. I think I need a lot of psychotherapy. I need a lot of past life regression to figure out all this. I wish I knew how to be a grid worker when I was there. I didn't even know I was intuitive then.
Right.
But feel how passionate I still am about how much I hate a place. Empathic, because I was an empath and I didn't know what to do with all that energy. Right. I gave it a second chance. I went back there twice because people like it so much.
Right.
Oh.
You know, and that's funny how I'm on the opposite side of you. No, I've never been. I had a fondness for the Eiffel Tower and the whole romantic side of it that is displayed that you see in movies.
Yeah, but that's all Hallmark card stuff.
Well, I know, but when I see it and I tap into it, I feel something different. So I just thought, okay, that's interesting. I hadn't thought anything of it. Then I'm at a friend's house. And she brings on a series where she's an American going to France. And it brought, you know, of course, it was in fashion and different things. It wasn't all in fashion, but all of her outfits, all of the streets, the cobblestone, hearing her heels on that, going in and get croissants and how there was a slower pace of life. I was like, yes, this is, it reignited the things that I didn't even know why I liked Paris or was drawn to it. It was those things. Now, I think hearing from somebody who went there recently and saying, you know, some different feedback, I was like, oh, we can definitely romanticize certain things mm-hmm. in our mind about a place. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because I remember we have talked about this over the years of your distaste.
Extreme distaste for Paris. I told you guys we keep it real here.
And I do have to say that a lot of these places are very glamorized, meaning like
yeah.
you see it in a film and then you automatically think, oh, this place has romance and everything.
Yeah.
But you have to understand that there's history behind that place. It's yes. not just
there's a dark history what the movies Paris put and up. Their underground tunnels.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
All of this goes on and it's you. And here's the part where I, like, one of the things that I love people to do, that I wish that anyone could do, is I want you to make it a point, if you get to travel, you get the opportunity to travel the world, travel to a pyramid site or an archaeological site, feel that energy, and compare it to going to a city and comparing that energy.
Yes.
The reason why is because they're so different. And you will understand what true, like, actual places that are sacred that have a certain energy flow is compared to places that have been built that don't have that pleasant
or
energy.
They had it and they built something there
exactly
to use it in ways that were not for the most beneficial reasons.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay,
let's get on to I'm really interested what else is on your list.
Well, animal empaths. Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of people are natural animal empaths. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be highly intuitive for this one. They pick up on the needs and feelings of animals.
I think as a pet owner, you really start tuning into your pet's yeah. energy.
This is one I didn't really have, so it wasn't until we had gotten a cat and that I started to tune in. But I understand when people have this really strong connection with mm-hmm. animals. I didn't have that per se, but I can see it and feel it in others. Mm-hmm. So, and we know someone who is a pet psychic, so mm-hmm. she's a good resource for that.
So I'm not going to claim that, oh, like, oh, I know so much about animals or whatever, but...
You hear them talk, don't you?
Yes, I hear them talk, and my familiars have shown me different lifetimes where I was with them when they weren't necessarily, like, I have two dogs, and I have a dog and a cat, they're my familiars, and, like, the dog showed me lifetimes where he was a monkey, and he still travels some of those primate traits as far as... He likes to observe. So he looks at you right in the eyes. And every friend that comes into my house, they're like, your dog makes me feel weird because it looks straight at me in the eyes like he's trying to figure you out. He has that primate thing. He can't get past that. But he's doing it with good intentions.
That's awesome. Did you say plant? You said animal
plant
and plant.
As well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So here's also a snippet is mm-hmm. that I was doing this psychic reading with somebody online and she didn't see me. So another way you can tune in if somebody is pretty good is if they can't see your energy, but they can just connect to it without seeing you. She said, oh, she's a plant empath and she doesn't even know it. And as soon as I heard that, I perked right up like a little plant that all of a sudden saw the sun. I was like, I am. Cause I always felt this love like of caretaking plants, but I didn't grow up, you know, like always being drawn to plants. Like there were certain things that were surprises to me. And that was one. And I thought, well, yeah, it's not very often that I kill a plant. Like I'm usually tuned into like, oh, it needs water. Oh, it needs to be moved because it's needs more mm-hmm. light here. Oh, it's not happy here. Let's try another spot. It needs to be repotted.
Yeah. That just shows how simple intuition is.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be like, I'm feeling the O2 factor of,
but I mean,
the leaves.
People are natural intuitives and they don't realize
it. Exactly.
But you know, this goes even further. Sorry. You go
ahead.
Oh,
no, you're good. All I was going to just add to it is, you ever hear that term like, oh, that person has a green thumb. They can grow anything.
Right.
That's actually more of an intuitive thing too that fits under this category. My husband's huge on that. Like literally, I hate to say it, but sometimes I had labeled myself before as a plant killer because I don't know much about plants. But him, on the other hand, I could have a plant that it looks like it's about to die.
Oh, yeah.
And then he starts taking care of it and it turns all bright and green and... I'm just like, okay, I wish I could have that.
You're like, it likes you, it doesn't like me. So yeah, that's interesting.
But we can add a more interesting twist to this, because I'm sure if you're people who are plant empaths can understand the healing property of every plant.
Right. Absolutely.
So he or she could go, if I make you a tincture from this, this, and this,
right,
I think that's going to boost your energy or whatever it may be that, you know, you need. They can talk to the plant.
Right.
And then another thing, this is going back to my friend Grace, who is super connected to nature, is one thing she told me is you do need to ask permission from the plants to enter into their arena, basically.
Right.
So if I were to be a plant intuitive, you know, they probably do that. Hey, may I have permission from the lavender plant.
Right.
From the lavender plant connective, can we connect so that you can give me the information that best helps this person or whatever plant kingdom they're feeling into, the mushrooms. Hey, a lot of people love mushrooms, right?
Right.
Okay, mushroom, please speak to me. Will you grant me entrance to tap into your energy to help other people? I think that it even gets into that.
Right.
And even as goes as deep as I've heard from when you're cutting flowers from a plant, you can't just cut them. You want to make sure you let them know that you're going to, so they draw their energy away.
Yes.
And you're able to cut them without causing pain to them.
That was one thing, because I love flowers. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that. So I love that we're sharing all these things, because we're definitely finding things, new things all the time that we're just going, oh. And also, like Lola was saying, you know, if you're an herbalist or somebody who's like been drawn to herbs and you're like, oh, I just have, some people have just a natural fascination. There's more to it, I bet, than just that. So I love that there's ways that we can explore these aspects and go, huh, maybe there's more to this gift than what I thought it was.
Yeah. I mean, once we started talking about it, I started seeing more possibilities with the plants. Same with the animals, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I tap into the animals when I do spirit guides.
Yes, you do.
I'll find out what their temporary spirit animal is to help them through a situation. They just show themselves to me. So I've been granted some kind of permission myself. Okay, so there's another one called precognitive empaths, and they feel the occurrence of an event before it actually happens.
Mm.
And that kind of goes back to, I think, to some of the weather things for the earth empaths, but they probably could feel the effect of something that isn't even necessarily earth. It could be a man-made situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like maybe they could sense an assassination's coming of a government official.
Right. So could that also be the same as an oracle, a seer?
Well, oracle, doesn't oracle mean you're oral? You're speaking something?
Well, I thought oracles were also like sometimes they say...
They're fortune tellers, but they are... Oracular means you're using your voice.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think that the actual term oracle, derives more from like being able to see glances of the future at certain timelines, depending if like the... Like, for example, I am an oracle. And sometimes I get glances of certain futures, like they're gonna go a certain way, but that doesn't mean that that's how it's set. It just means that there's reality. We know that there's a multiverse out there, and there's different options for that reality to kind of happen, or depending on if they choose to act differently from a certain point on, then that can change too. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think. In Greece, wasn't the Oracle at Delphi? They used
They used to hang over a chasm where all these poisonous gases were rising.
Okay.
So they'd go into a altered state.
Okay.
And then they foretold the future. But they were definitely listened to.
Okay.
But, you know, it's kind of like taking ayahuasca or some.
Right.
They were in a hallucinogenic state and tapping into their...
To those gifts.
Intuition to foretell the future.
That's so interesting. So precognitive... that's very interesting. What else do you have there on the list?
Well, this is one I didn't know about, but you did. Hayoka. I didn't hear about that till today. So, and the reason I found that interesting, because I did a spirit guide drawing last week for someone, and their guide was a Hayoka, and I had to look up what that means. It's a Lakota term, Native American term, and they're the sacred clown or the spiritual fool. So when people are doing something like a very serious ceremony to bring something in, it's like the Joker. It's poking. it's the levity you need during that seriousness.
Yeah.
But it's also, so this kind of empath is a mirror.
Yeah, it also says they embrace contradictions and paradoxes to see, because they're truth seekers, they see the world differently.
Yeah.
I'm also going to say they're really rare. And it's not often a great life path. It can be very tumultuous.
No, so they're clowns, but they're the clowns who are showing us what needs changing.
Yeah.
So being the mirror for you that you've got become too comfortable and complacent, I think, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when things seem very calm, it'll start poking at you and bringing up, but what about this? What about this? This could happen. This could happen. This could happen. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of keep us on, I guess, on all our senses.
Well, they have a very provoking.
Yeah.
Provoking energy. And it's really helping society look at stuff and go, hey, guys, we have been doing program this way, or this is cultural conditioning. And is this serving the collective? So it's, they are the truth seekers.
Yeah, that's what I meant by that. Everybody in the tribes become so comfortable that they're not ready for if there was an attack, for example.
Yeah. So they're healers, and they're often very unappreciated for their gifts. So.
Well, this one was really interesting because I've actually been told twice that that's what I am. I had never really looked into it. But the only thing that definitely resonates and resonates really, really strong is that I feel like in order to have that jokester, in order to have that clown mentality of laughing at things and pointing things out that are not working and stuff, you have to go through it all. And that definitely resonates within me because I feel like going the deepness of emotion and feeling every emotion. And it's almost like the balance is a tear for a smile. So that means in order to fully understand, grasp, and not take things too seriously, you first once had to cry it out. You first once had to live that experience. And I definitely, and sometimes this is the weird part because this is where I find my struggle part, I guess, is because I'm like, okay, I know I'm an empath and I can feel, but I'm like, if we're looking at the bigger picture, it actually serves us more. And a lot of the times when empaths are very focused on that pain, they can't see past that. And that's when I try to come in and help them because it's like, okay, you're not helping anyone if you're going down the ship with them. So I'm always trying to like, pull him up. It's like, come on, let's do this the correct way. Not that I'm saying or I'm trying to tell anyone how they need to feel or anything, because ultimately what we strive for is emotional balance.
Yes. Yes.
And that emotional balance comes with time, comes with experiences. And I can certainly say I don't know it all by no means, but I've had my fair share of emotions where I just choose to live my life in a different kinds of emotions. Now I want the happy emotions. I don't want those like, it's like been there, done that, gotten those check marks. It's like, great, let's show me something different, life. And so I guess I'm more eased up about it. And that's why when people are too much going down with it, I'm like, let's change this up. I can't do this.
Right. And that's exactly what the Heyoka does, is when things are so serious, it brings in the levity and then vice versa.
Yeah. Yep.
So, anyway, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I want to make sure we are able to get to all these in this episode.
I think we covered the main ones.
Yeah, okay.
I think the other ones I see on this list are kind of versions of what we've talked about. I think the most important thing is for the majority of empaths are emotional empaths.
Yeah.
And that's why we wanted to talk about this today. And it can be very confusing to be in such an to feel emotions of your own, let alone other people's emotions. So that's why we wanted to broach this topic today, to help people, their children, themselves. And once again, blessing or curse, someday this depends on any given day and any given moment. But I really wanted to impress on people that there is a blessing to it that we talked about earlier. The deeper you feel, the more you can heal, not just yourself, but others.
Yeah.
Because if we can't put ourselves in other person's shoes, we can help them. But the more we understand them through our own perception of pain, the more we can fine tune it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just want to find, because I know we're finalizing the thing, I just want to have a few minutes to say balance comes with time. Mm-hmm. Please, when we say balance, that took a while, that took a lot of, I guess, painful aspects to go through in order for us to see it from a bigger view, like more from an observer view. So allow yourself to have your journey, allow yourself to live your experiences, and balance will come. The more you work on yourself, the more emotional balance you will find in your own personal journey.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with feeling the deep feelings. Like, I understand I'm going through a grief process right now. There are scientific steps that have been proven that happen in the grief process. So I'm not trying to, I am being the observer, but I'm also being the feeler. I'm honoring those feelings because I know it's part of the healing for me. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing I just wanted to bring up. You know, if you're dealing with grief, there's nothing wrong with feeling. But I think what I'm learning is through practicing with my own emotions, with other things as well, I'm going through this grief process faster than I expected. Because I thought by the time we started this podcast today that I'd still be in anger. Mm, and I did shift out of anger. So I think I've just, like Amaral saying, you get better at rebalancing. Mm-hmm, but that doesn't mean I'm denying the feelings.
Yeah. One of the things that I wanted to go back to mention too about the resources on that book,
it's called
The Empath Survival Guide. It's by Judith Orloff. And I didn't realize she has another one called Thriving as an Empath.
Oh, good.
And so when I first started, I was like, oh, okay, what are these things that I can put in place to help myself as an empath? And it is a big thing and a responsibility. And I feel like we are here to help the collective. And so there are times when all of a sudden, if you notice your energy suddenly shifts and you feel like out of nowhere, you're in a good mood, and all of a sudden you're like, nothing that you can spot has triggered it. To ask yourself, is this mine?
Yes.
Is this mine? And then, you know, intuitively you could hear yes or no, or you could body test, or you can just be like bringing in that awareness to go deeper into it. And see, you know, is there something else that I could be possibly feeling? Because there's times where I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. And then all of a sudden I'll see something going on in the world, or, and I'm feeling things for the collective. So just know that there are so many ways it can present itself. But like we talked about, some different strategies, learning about it, finding recommendations and tools and tips. Having, again, tribes that are wired like you. So, you know, when something's going on, your friends are likely feeling it too. And you don't feel so alone. And you can even say, hey, how are you doing through this? What's working for you? And I love that we are able, you know, to me, it's such a great way of connecting to someone at an emotional level. Because as soon as you started talking and I could be in the same field with you, I was able to also feel that of what Alola is going through. And it's like, yeah, this does hurt. It helps to know I can feel something that she's going through and connect with her in a very deep way. So empathy, blessing or curse, we do see it as a blessing. But we just wanted to share that with you guys and know how much that we're sending our love and blessings to you. That we appreciate you and being here with us to listen to this conversation. And we would like to hear from you. So if you have some suggestions that we haven't mentioned.
For topics to cover.
Oh, yes. Topics for us that you would like us to talk about. Please let us know.
And please rate our episode. Please.
Oh, yeah. If you use Spotify or Apple podcasts especially.
It helps us so much.
Because we want to help more people.
Yes.
So thanks for listening. And thanks for feeling into us today. Bye.
Bye.